It's a promise of God. Thank you, worship team. I will need you later. You know, there's a promise of God, especially in this time we're living in. God said he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, which means nobody will be left behind. Absolutely nobody will be left behind. But you see, the question is this: God pours out his spirit upon all flesh. What do you and I do to engage or disengage with his spirit? The Bible is clear that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. You see, one of the things I've come to understand with God, as I'm learning slowly, some of us think that God will force you to do anything. No, God never forces. The Spirit of God comes. The Spirit of God leads. The Spirit of God teaches. The Spirit of God corrects. The Spirit of God rebukes. But never will you see the Spirit of God forcing any human being. Because just like God, you and I are created, we have the power, the will to choose or not to choose. So much more that we can choose whether we want to believe or reject God. The Bible is clear that when the Word of God became flesh, when the Word of God dwelt amongst men in the person of Jesus, it said they beheld his glory. And it was only those who received him that he gave the power. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons, the children, those who will, let me use the word, be the beneficiary of every good and perfect gift of God from above. God will never, ever force us to accept or reject him. I sense that some of us have heard the word of God enough, and God is just waiting on one thing, our obedience. There's some of us, I perceive, God began to show me things, as God dealt with me, that I should be bold and bolder, that I am called and I'm sent. My job is just deliver and say with boldness. You know, there was something God told Jeremiah, don't look at people's faces. Don't. Just speak the word. So I've come to speak the word today. God took me back to the foundation of my Christian faith. I got to know the Lord through a miracle. And I began to see the miraculous happening. That's in my, let me say, my early walk, because I'm still walking and I'm still learning, and I've not arrived yet. My early walk with God, I began to see the miraculous. I began to believe God for the miraculous. I began to see miracles happening. And to my amazement, I didn't understand at the time, but I began to hear the Spirit of God say things to me and through me to people. And I was so shocked about the accuracy. And I just knew that wasn't me. So I'm just saying this and I'm announcing that that is going to be happening more and more. In our midst, I want you to expect the miraculous. I was in a school I'll say 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to a young man. I'm a professional teacher, and I was just talking to one of the students, and suddenly the Spirit of God came upon me. And I told him, that he was born in a certain month, and I told him the age, and I told him the exact date. He was shocked. I was shocked. He said, how did I know that? I said, I heard it. But of course, I'm not allowed to mention the Holy Spirit in school, so I said, there's a power that always comes upon me that reveals things to me. And all of them began to gather. All right, tell us our age. Tell us the day. What's my... I said, look, it's not by power, it's not by might. It's when it comes. Okay? I can't force it. But I'm just hearing, and God is telling me he will be revealing accurate things. So please, I'm warning you so that don't be shocked. Nobody told me anything. You know, and when this begin to be in operation, it's always spooky. And I remembered some years I was pastoring, and somebody came for the first time to the service, and I described everything the person was going through. The person was shocked and angry at the same time. Angry because the person who invited them to the service knew some of the secrets that they shared with that person. So the person was shocked that they were hearing it from the pulpit, the guy standing in front of the service, and angry that definitely this guy that I trusted went to reveal something to the pastor. And, I finished what I had to do, and I told the person what they needed to do. Simple. Surrender your life, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life takes a new trajectory from then on, and you will, the Bible says, as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Listen, don't live this life, and at the end of this life, you find out that you've lived a life of vanity, and nothing is happening, and you will give account of your life one day. It's not scary. I'm not trying to scare anybody. You will give account of your life someday to your maker. Some people are angry, and this is the kind of anger. You know there is God, but because God, you felt God has done you wrong, you are angry, and in your anger, you are trying to justify that there is no God. Please, don't be a fool, because it's only a fool that says in his heart that there is no God. You know deep down that there is God. Of course, the story I was saying, the person did not, they got angry, and I don't know what happened to them afterwards, but the person that invited them came crying to me that this is what happened. And I said, why are you crying? Did you tell me anything? He said, no. I said, have I met this person before? I've never. I said, I know you didn't tell me anything. This was just the Spirit of God. It's up to them. You know, at times when Jesus ministered and preached, two kinds of reactions. There are those who will be very angry, and there are those who will say, wow, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. So, whichever decision you make, it's your decision. But please, we have entered a realm where I am pleading with us, follow the way, the truth, and the life. Like Moses, two ways are always set before us. The way that leads to life, the way that leads to destruction. But you have to choose. It's your choice. God will never force you. I need to make that introduction. John chapter 5. John and chapter 5, permanent victory in Christ Jesus. I will share a little bit as the Spirit of God moves. And afterwards, we will minister, pray with people. So if you want to be prayed for, once we close the service, wait behind and we will pray with you. I don't want us to run over time today. I hope they have time in me, because I want to be under authority. Wherever I get to, I stop. Whenever you want me to stop. So John chapter 5, we are looking at the part 2, and I will teach a little bit today a sense I should teach and explain some things, and then we will pray, we will minister, but listen attentively. John chapter 5, I don't know what version the media team will display, but let me try to read, if I can, from the New King James Version. So I'll be reading from verse 1 to 5. Verse 1 to 5. John and chapter 5. So please come with me. Okay, some of these devices just decide to mess you up at times. What happened to the good old Bible that we used to turn? Somebody once sent me a text and said that the Bible is getting extinct because we don't carry the physical Bible anymore. That if you are not carrying the physical Bible, then you are not saved. I laughed. I said, do you realize that we are living in a time, and one of the things that will make us lose the time and season we are in now is if we are not discerning of the times and the seasons. If I ask you how many of us carry physical books all over the place now? Very few. How many of us have books, or you can access books on a device? You will just download it anywhere you are, whether you're in the toilet, whether you're in the bathroom. And there's a way now you can enter any country, in the countries in the world before, where you're not allowed to carry a physical Bible. They will arrest you. Just go in there with your phone. Your Bible is downloaded. You read it anywhere. Nobody can stop you. That is the times and the seasons we live in. So please don't get hung up with culture. Don't get hung up with the past. And hold on. This is how we do it. This is how, if we don't do it this way, then we don't get results. Okay. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I'm reading the King James Version. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market. Some versions say by the sheep gate. There was a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Please note that, Bethesda. Note sheep gate. Note Bethesda. It had five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That is, one version says, people who were lame, paralyzed, who had sicknesses, who had diseases. All of them were there waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4. Why were people doing this? If you have some modern translations, sadly that this portion of verse 4 is removed for some strange reasons. Some of us will not see this verse 4. If you have some modern translations of the Bible, I don't know why. But I will read the good old King James. You see it in the original Aramaic translated. This portion is there. Why? An angel comes down a certain season. Please note that. Certain season. How many of us know seasons come and seasons go? Currently, we are in what season now? Are you sure? Some of us don't even know what season we are in. You don't know. You are just moving with every season. Okay? Okay, behave. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I wanted to pick on Dr. Uche, but I won't pick on him this season. Okay, Dr. Uche is wearing a jacket that is meant for winter season. Thank you. Some people don't know Dr. Uche, so Dr. Uche, don't fidget. Otherwise, they will know it's you. You know, I'm not looking anywhere. I'm just looking. Oh, am I looking this direction? I'm not. Did I look here? I didn't. Okay. All right. Certain season into the pool. An angel will come down, trouble the water. And whoever first enters that water after it's troubled was made whole of whatever disease. So listen, there was season, and they must not miss that season. And the season just comes. It's seasons come and seasons go. So when the season comes, you must jump in. But you know what? It's first come, first serve. You will not miss the day of your visitation. You will not miss your season. And listen, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. Some of us have missed the human season, but I heard the Spirit of God say to me, He will reverse the season. He will break protocol. That is what should have been that passed. He will return it. Listen, He says, I will restore the years, the locust, the palmer worm, the caterpillar that they have eaten. That is one of the things the power of God can do. He can reverse. A man died 4 days, dead, buried 4 days. The Lord showed up, He reversed the irreversible. Excuse me, I'm hearing this again and I'll keep saying it. If it can be explained, then it is not a miracle from God. If it can be explained, then it is not a miracle from God. A family in Amis shared a testimony with us about, you know, their child. Took to the hospital, admitted, doing everything, doing this, run every test, did everything. And they gave them a verdict that this child, this will happen, that will happen, this will not happen, that will happen. I'm talking of somebody in this church. I don't like embarrassing people. But please, God is telling us now we need to start sharing testimonies. We must hear what God is doing, just like that woman that Jesus met at the pool. By the well. You must say what God has done, what God is doing. Doctors did everything, did every test, and told them this verdict, blah, blah, blah. The child, they were performing all the experiment on. The Lord, the power of God hit the child transformed, and the doctor said, you know what, this is beyond medical science. Can we do like a report on your child? Because this is new to medical science. In this church, to the glory of God, please let's celebrate that and give God all the glory. It's got nothing to do with man, but God. They couldn't explain it. Inexplainable. Please explain to me how I will lay hands on the sick and then the sick will recover. Please explain to me how I will speak a word and the word will be so accurate and the word of God will heal you and deliver you, give you clear-cut direction. It's inexplainable. The word of God comes to, let me tell you something, to mess up. I'm using the word mess up our minds, to change the way we think. So, the season comes, season goes, whoever steps in first come, first serve, whatever disease, they will be healed. So this certain man was there. And guess what? This man had been there for 38 years. There was someone we were praying last week. And I'm reminding the person, I don't know if the person is here, but I told the person, take away 38 years from your age. And the person told me, if you're hearing, you told me maybe you were 5 or 6. I said, God is taking you back to some things that happened to you at that season period of your life. You have to cast your mind back and ask the Holy Spirit. And I sense God was fixing, God was reversing some things that happened to them. That is the God we serve. Some of us are suffering from traumas, childhood traumas, things that happened to us. You're an adult now. You even know the Lord, but it's still affecting you. It's like a virus that's operating quietly in your computer, in your system. You still boot up your computer. You still download what you need to download, but the virus is working quietly and damaging your system. I say by the Spirit of God, every such demon that is active and operating, that you don't know, and listen, the virus you are not aware of, you cannot get rid of. But by reason of this word, some of us, I don't know, as I said this, something came back to you that happened to you as a child. In the name of Jesus, the effect of it is reversed, and it will turn out for your glory. So, Jesus came to the man. He was 38 years old. He had been there for a long time. And Jesus asked him a simple question. Please note this, and I want you to picture this conversation. Impotent man, paralyzed, 38 years he had been there. Do you want to be healed? One version says, do you want to become well? Is it not a simple question? Excuse me, what should be the answer? Yes or, oh please, you can't answer? What should be the answer? Do you want to be healed? Or, excuse me, at times we explain things and the explanations we have is the self-limiting belief system that is stopping us from experiencing a miracle. Who is asking you for explanation? Do you want to be healed? It's when you start explaining, then you're not ready. But those explanations you give is usually the hindrance to your miracle. It's a simple yes or no. But thank God for his sovereign mercies. The impotent man, verse 7, impotent, answered. One version says the sick man answered, sir, I have no man, no one to put me inside the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, somebody else steps in before me. And that's been happening for 38, at least, I mean, roughly, he's been paralyzed for 38 years. So let's just give and take probability. He's been there for a long time because the Bible says he's been there for a long time. So, Jesus simply said this. Get up. Take up your bed. And walk. Please, how can you explain that? 38 years, impotence, paralysis, and all you hear is get up. Take up your bed and walk. And who said this? A man you don't know. This man did not know Jesus. All he knew was there is a season, there is a pool, and that pool called Bethesda, I went to find out what exactly it means. It means it's a flowing water, but literally the house of mercy. You know what mercy really is? It means you don't deserve it. Mercy means you are guilty. You should be punished. You've sinned. You've done it. Judgment should fall on you. You know, like some people pray these days. I didn't understand it. I read it many times. One day I got to understand it. Thunder, fire, you, or whatever, whatever, whatever. I see it a lot now. I'm just wondering, where do people get that kind of prayers? And it's Christians who say, thunder, fire, you. Do you know what Jesus said? When his own disciples who walked with him live, because he wanted to walk somewhere and they were resisting him, he said, should we call fire from heaven? He said, you don't know the spirit. You don't know the spirit that you are of. You don't know your breed. You don't know that this is not God. So I'm just telling somebody, you have a traditional way of praying and calling thunder. And thunder should fire somebody. Listen, no thunder. You're probably the one thunder will fire. Let me tell you why. Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. There's someone recently, and the Lord was telling me, pray for this person. Don't ever join them to talk about this person again. The person is in deep trouble. I mean deep. No way out. And God told me, pray. You pray. Everybody's talking. Everybody's saying this. Pray. And what is the prayer? The Holy Spirit said, God is our refuge, our fortress, Psalm 46. A very present help in time of. Said this guy's in trouble. Pray for him. That I would deliver him from the trouble. And I understood. Because next time I'm in trouble, because I prayed for somebody who's in trouble, I didn't ask thunder to fire them. Somebody, I will repeat. I was telling somebody I like trouble. I don't look for it. But when trouble looks for me, I like it because God says it's a very present help in time of trouble. I know my very present help is there with me. That is the word of God. I know the mercy of God will prevail. I know what mercy is. I don't deserve it. I admit it. I'm wrong. Excuse me, don't try and justify your action. Don't try. Why did you eat? It's the woman who made me eat. God forbid. I always tell my wife, God forbid. God forbid. I'm just using it as illustration. God forbid. God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. I find myself in adultery. God forbid again. He says seven times for me. I said, I'm not going to blame anybody. But it won't happen. I said, it won't happen. Amen. You better say amen. Because your amen will reap. You will reap. No. No. I should be wise. I should be smart. Use a little bit of your common sense. I figured out how to commit adultery, sir. I figured it out. Just being alone with a woman where there's nobody there and nobody else is there. Simple. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Nobody's there. I'm there. The person is there. Nobody else is there. Just be alone. So what do I do with my common sense? I make sure I'm not alone with somebody where nobody's there, when nobody's there, and I'm alone, and they're alone, and I'm there, and they're there. Ah, Lord, a man of God was told to come and pray that a woman was dying. So he too went without discernment. He entered the room, and the woman was there on the bed, dying. And he began to shakara about several times, and the woman jumped up from under the cover, and she was in her earthly suit. Yeah, I have to say that because of some young men who are here. You're in an earthly suit. The suit you brought from heaven the day you were born. And the woman said, if you don't lie with me today, I will scream, Pastor! What are you doing in the room with me? People will ask, so you better let's do it. Why did I digress there? Because a young man here is lacking discretion. I needed to hear that. Need to hear that. You lack discretion. You're a man of God. You are going to pray. Okay. When they accuse you of rape, we will have to fast. Just avoid it. Just avoid it. Where was I? Bethesda, house of mercy. You don't deserve it, but I will show you mercy. And it was by the sheep gate. Very symbolic. You see, that sheep gate has a historical implication. It has an historical explanation. When Nehemiah was going to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem, where, the city of God, the first place they built was the sheep gate. That is the gate into the city. It was symbolic, prophetic, because of time. Is God now trying to reverse the reproach on your life? And it takes you through the gate. Jesus said, I'm the gate of the sheep. Listen, don't be deceived. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Argue with all you want. It is written. As many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Receive Jesus and receive him in your life today. Now, listen. So, sheep gate, pool, do you want to be made well? Began to explain, I have no man. Self-limiting belief. You are always having an excuse and a reason for everything that is happening to you. Please stop explaining. We don't need your explanation. What you need is a miracle. Stop asking and stop trying to reason out God. God is not asking us to. Of course, he said, let's come together and reason together. The reason, let me tell you the best thing your common sense should first of all tell you, that the person who gave you that common sense is wiser than you. So the reasoning with God is that, you know what, God, like Peter, I'm a professional fisherman. I know when to catch fish. This is the wrong time. But because you said so, I will drop down my net. I will let go of every science I know, every medical science I know. I will let it down. I'm forgetting everything I was taught in medical school. I am asking for a miracle. And God, you said, you send your word and your word heals and delivers from destruction. You said in Psalm 103, you forgive all iniquities. You heal all diseases. That is all I care to know, and that is all I want. I have this, this is, and I want to be healed. End of story. Go to any medical, whatever, jargon. They will explain everything to you. And let me tell you what medical science, they will tell you why you can't be healed. They will tell you, I'm telling you, to the glory of God, I've seen God change someone's genotype, SS to AA, medically certified, to the glory of God. Those are the kind of miracles I've seen. Unexplainable. Oh, somebody said maybe they didn't test very well. Excuse me. We took medical science. The father was AS, the mother was AS. They had 5 children, 3 of them SS. And from day of birth, genotype test was done. The day of the miracle, the test was done again, came back. SS, we prayed, went back. They did the test medically, AA, to the glory of God. I have seen miracles. And I'm telling you, stop trying to explain anything here. Do you want to be healed? We don't need your explanation. Arise, take up your bed, and walk. The Bible says immediately the man was made whole, took his bed, and he walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Sabbath, you don't heal. Sabbath, you don't work. Listen, after God heals you, people will come and start explaining why God shouldn't heal you. Or why it's not a miracle. I've seen it happen over and over. I shared a miracle song. Said, no, maybe this, that, maybe that. And explanation. Too much explanation. I don't need your explanation. The man said when they challenged him, I don't even know the guy. He just told me, rise, take up my bed and walk. And I did so. They said, no, deny the man. No, it should be the Sabbath day. Apart from your self-limiting belief, because of too much explanation, people also will explain to you why you shouldn't. And we're talking of winning permanent victories, people. This man, at the end of the day, he was healed. On a day he shouldn't be healed, on a day that no work should be done, every protocol broken, everything that should be explained, unexplainable, a miracle. I'm stirring somebody up. Do you want to be healed? End of story. You've got the doctor's report? Yes. They've told you, the organization have told you this. And please, healing of all disease is not just physical. It could be mental, it could be psychological. It could be like today we learned about spiritual laziness. Some of us are just lazy spiritually. You just want to be spoon-fed. Just come, preach the Bible, this, that, do this. And that's why you're exploited. Because it's the people who do know the Lord their God personally that are strong and do exploits. You don't know God personally, you will be weak. And people will keep exploiting you. Keep exploiting you. If you see a raw miracle and I tell you, go and bring £1,000, I'm telling you, go and borrow it. But you are going to see miracles. Okay, let me rephrase it. You are going to experience, not see. I'm closing now. Four things that hinder us from permanent victories. Because this man, even though he was healed from those 38 years infirmity, Jesus told him one thing can reverse and even make your situation worse. Number one is sin. I shared that with us last week, and I'll go over it again. Anything that is not right before God is sin. Any good you know to do, you don't do it, is sin. All unrighteousness, sin. Worry, sin. Unbelief, sin. Some of you think it's those big things that are sin. I don't commit adultery. I don't commit fornication. I don't drink alcohol. So I'm not a sinner. You are a sinner. Or rather, please, you are sinning if you don't believe. Worry, sin. Whatever has been said to you and is giving you disease, right? Make you not to be at ease. Listen, he forgives all iniquities. Lord, whatever has brought this upon me, you promise you will forgive. So, Lord, I ask and receive forgiveness. And then the second thing, you promise you will heal all my diseases. I ask you, heal. End of story, irrespective of the report, irrespective of whatever. Do you want to be made well? So, number one, Jesus told him, don't sin again. And that's why we're on a 21-day journey. Every day, Lord, whatever sin I've committed, forgive me. Any sin you remember, confess it. The other day, I remembered something I did when I was a teenager. I'm born again. I've been born again. I've been walking with the Lord for about 38 years now. And all of a sudden, I remember something I did when I was a teenager. I had to start confessing it. I remember something my parents did. I began to plead for mercy in case it's working on my life or on my children. I was telling my wife the other day, as God was dealing with me and took me to the root of my foundation, I said, there are some things you just try to justify. Say, oh, well, I don't do the physical act, but I think it. Excuse me, to God it is sin. If you thought it. So I told my wife, please, please, and please, if you ever see me do this again, please just tell me or ask me every day. And what is it? Luke, why are you looking at me? Luke. Somebody say, Luke. I'm only looking. I didn't do it. I'm only thinking. I didn't do it. It is sin, people. Number two, when you don't know or you forget who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You are God's creation and your life is meant to bring pleasure to God. Everything about your life should bring pleasure. God is not pleased when you are ravaged with disease. Excuse me, how can disease bring God pleasure? If it brought God pleasure, why did Jesus go about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil? Why was he casting out devils? Why was he healing people? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested to destroy all the works of the devil. I say in the name of Jesus, every work of the devil, every oppression of our life is destroyed this day. Do you believe? Listen, number, you don't know who you are. Or you forget who you are. Number three, I share this with all, you don't know whose you are. You don't know whose. Apart from who? You don't know who you belong to. Do you know what Lord means? It means owner. Are you Jesus's? Are you of Jesus? Are you of God? That is whose you are. And because of whose I am, he fights for me. Come on. I've got two sons. If I hear anybody does this or does that to any of my sons, and I hear, I've got to react. I've got to act. Why? Because of whose they are. I go fight for them. I'm a mere mortal. How much more God? Number three. Is that number three? Thank you. Shows you are listening. Number four. We forget or we don't know who is for us and who is against us. Let me tell you, if you know who you are, please listen. Listen. If you know who you are, if you take care of sin, right? Because sin is transgression. Sin cuts us off from the life of God. When we sin, we are disconnected. So when we sin, the devil has every right to plague you with anything. That's why unforgiveness is terrible. Thank you. Dadaize took us back and reminded us, you don't know the torment you are going through. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you. And he gave the parable. I will hand you over to the tormentors. Tormentors, you start having sleepless nights, you start having all manner of anxiety. You are anxious, you are angry, you are bitter, you can't sleep. Like somebody will tell me, my blood boils anytime I see this person. That is tormentor. If you don't know, you are in the tormentor's chamber. And it's easy for the devil to come and start experimenting on your body with all manner of sickness. Zipe, you know that our special year 2019 was when God showed me that, you know that the devil can afflict with sickness. I didn't believe that before until 2019, Zipe. Job. What did God tell Job? Tell the devil. Go and deal with him. Give him sickness. Give him boils. But you cannot touch his life. Listen. That's why you're still alive. That's why you might still be plagued with all manner of whatever is happening to you. But the word of the Lord has come today to deliver you and set you free in the name of Jesus. Listen, there's more for you than against you. When you have Jesus in you, what you have inside of you is the greater one. Which means whatever great problem, trouble confronts you, you have someone on the inside of you who is always greater. Greater. So some of us are in great troubles right now. Listen, if you have Jesus in you, you have someone greater than that trouble. That's what it means. When we forget whose we are, we forget that there is more for us than against us. Please, let's pray. I've overshot my time. Do you want to be healed? It's up to you. I don't know how to pray. I do not know. Let the Spirit of God come upon the person who's taking over right now to come and pray. Thank you, Dadaize. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, sir. Just lead us to pray. And once we close the service after the announcement, you want to be prayed for, please just come forward and we'll lay hands on you. Please, can you signal to my wife that they can come in now? Thank you, sir.